what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget
how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget. Oh, never. Well, he's done so much for me. And I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He has done so much for me. And I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to take up our missions offering. Got all our kids back there. Amen. It's so good to see every young person here today. Amen.
Amen.
It's so awesome. We had that special service last week with Brother McLaughlin. Amen. And the launch for Save Our Children. So that is just, it was a special time. Amen. And I thought it was amazing because there was a guest here. Amen. I think she was with Sister Kim. Her name's Mary. And even though that was a kid's service, she came up to the front. And I know that, I don't think she got the Holy Ghost or anything, but I know God touched her heart. Amen. But it's just so great how when you break it down simply, amen. You know, another word for simple is elegant. Amen. The gospel is simple. Amen. But it's so, so powerful. It's so elegant. Amen. And the kids can understand it. And the adults can understand it. Praise the Lord, can appreciate it. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Kids, are you ready?
Yes.
Brother, you're going to have to get out of their way. They're going to knock you over. All right. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me.
Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget. Oh, never.
Oh, yes, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's no other name I know.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just a quick word about Brother McLaughlin. I know I was excited about having him come, and it was a really eye-opening thing to see how that kids can be ministered to in a way that they understand and encourage them. Sister Waldron, did you enjoy that children's service?
Oh, that's awesome.
You felt like a little girl again, didn't you?
No.
I'll tell you what, there was a part of a boy that came out in me that wanted to just love the Lord. Amen. I was encouraged. I hope you were. Amen. And Save Our Children. And we are in the midst of our Save Our Children offering now. We'll be doing it through this month and through next month. In fact, the first week of May is when we'll end the Save Our Children offering. There has been some that have already given. In fact, my wife and I, we gave $200 today in the for Save Our Children in addition to our tithing and offering. But it's a worthy cause. And I hope you'll consider giving to Save Our Children. Amen. For our text, James chapter 1 is where I'd like to turn your attention. And just for the reading of two verses of Scripture, could I ask you to stand with me, please? just that we recognize how great God's word is. Amen. If you don't get anything else out of what I say, get the word. Amen. Get what it is that the word of God has to say. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says this. But every man is, here's the first word I want you to remember, tempted. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts. And the second word I'd like you to remember is enticed. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, that's the third word, conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the fourth point that I want to speak on today. And my topic is the progression of sin. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, even right now, Lord, I ask that in the precious name of Jesus, God, that you would give me anointing, God, to say of the Holy Ghost, Lord, of your word and of your purpose. I pray that you would open our understanding and, Lord, just give us revelation of truth and let your word, Lord, to touch our hearts and to open our understanding. And, Lord, let your will be accomplished in us, I pray today, that each person, Lord, that would hear, Lord, of this your word would understand and know it, God. Help us, Lord, to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This is a very serious portion of Scripture. At salvation, when we come to the realization and have an experience with God, our nature changes. Now, we still may have a bad habit. We still got to get over some carnal things. But our nature changes when we have that salvation experience, when we repent of our sins, when we are baptized in Jesus' name, when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, when we have a relationship with God, our nature changes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Notice it doesn't say they're gone in an instant. Old things got to leave. Behold, all things are become new. You can look at life with a new mindset. You can look at things in a different way when you have a relationship with God. Amen. The byproduct of water baptism is that we rise to walk in newness of life. We are supposed to become new, different. We're to be a new creature. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. You see, this baptismal tank is not just a tub of water. It is used by God to change the nature of people. Amen. Because when you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, this does something spiritual. Amen. It's not just physical getting wet and then drying off with a towel. No, you're going to get wet, that's for sure. But It's way more than that. Way more than that. You see, that price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross at Calvary is applied to your life and remits, pays for your sin when you're baptized. Amen. It's a spiritual occasion. Amen. It's a special event. Amen. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the scripture, it refers to changing our nature, and people call it this also, the born again experience. Amen. We really are different when we serve God. You know, BC, before Christ, and after. Amen. I'm a different person when I'm living for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. In our text, James is writing to the believers. He's writing to people who already know God. He's not writing to the new convert. He's not writing to the guy that doesn't know God. He's writing to the church. In fact, I believe most of the people that I am speaking to now know who Jesus Christ is. But just as James was, I'm speaking to people who already know who Jesus is. He's speaking to us. Writing to believers. Writing to the born again. Praise the Lord. When we are born again, the struggle against sin does not end. It really is just the beginning. Amen. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. In fact, the speaker last on Friday night when I was at youth convention said the very same thing. It's the beginning. Amen. It's when we start to really live for God. Amen. When we have that born again experience. Praise the Lord. Even after salvation, after you have that experience, after you have begun your relationship with God, the flesh will still try to dictate. The flesh will endeavor to dominate our lives. It's the carnal nature of who we are. There will always be a war between the flesh, that's the old life of sin, and the spirit, that's being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the new life in Christ. There's going to be a fight between the flesh and the spirit. Amen. But as you get closer with God, as you become more set, more committed, when you have a relationship with God, it becomes part of our nature to follow Him. Amen. You see, I put away the old nature that I might follow a new nature. Amen. That I may follow after the Lord. That I may seek after the Christ. In our text, James is explaining to us the progression of sin. Sin isn't stagnant. Sin isn't just sitting there. No, it wants to get a tentacle, in a hook, if you will. It wants to hook you and then drag you and then get more tentacles on you and wants to consume you to the point that your flesh overcomes that spirit. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You do not have to let Satan win. In fact, if you will serve God, you will be successful in defeating the enemy. Not maybe sometimes or might, But always, every time, every child of God that determines to serve the Lord and live for Him can defeat Satan. Everyone, Satan lose. Read the back of the book. We win. It's already established. It's already set. There's going to be a heaven. And I'm decided to go there. Amen. You got to decide. I'm going to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. James is explaining that text. He traces the results of unholy temptation. When we give in to the things of the world, it's bad news. It's not going to turn out well. Every man is tempted, it starts out. When he is drawn away of his own lusts, when we give in to that carnal nature, when we give in to that sin that so easily besets us, when we give in to the carnality of our nature, temptation is not sin. The birds may fly over my head, and I can't stop them. But tell you what, you try to let one make a nest in my head, I'm going to chase him away. I don't have to let him land on me. I don't have to let him stay there. Amen. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and, second part, enticed. Lured. Aroused. Attracted. You know, sin can look very attractive. It can be as if it were an angel of light. It may look good. But sin is always bad. Always. This is the time when it stops being a passing temptation and starts to get into your spirit. I'm pausing there. It's important that we consider this. It is at this point when we're being enticed, lured, aroused, attracted to sin. It's at that time when one begins to dwell on that temptation until that dwelling becomes alluring. It draws us towards that sin. Then Scripture goes on, when lust hath conceived. Here we go. That's when it's taking place in your life. That's when you're giving in to the thing that you know you shouldn't be doing. That's when it is that sin. Oh, it's hooked you. Sin has got its grip upon you. Temptation turns to attraction. Attraction takes root in your heart. It sets its place in your mind. You start thinking and dwelling on it. It becomes part of your process of thinking. Once conception takes place, something will be born of it. Something's going to happen when you've come to that place. Paul warned, once conception takes place, it bringeth forth sin. You see, at this point, you either have to abort it, you have to kill it, you have to put it away, you have to not do it, you got to turn aside, you got to put that sin away, or that sin will grab a hold of you. You'll begin to embrace that sin. you'll begin, that sin will extract an ugly toll upon your life. There's a warning in Scripture against sin. You know, it's not real popular for preachers to preach about sin. You know, it might make you feel uneasy. Might make you feel like, Pastor, why are you picking on me? No, I'm not picking on you. You know what? If I don't tell you what I'm telling you, then God picks on me. It becomes my fault for not telling you to look out for sin. I have to tell you. Then when lust hath conceived temptation into attraction, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. It's the opening text that I read. It's the Bible. It's what God said is going to happen. I'm not making this up. I'm just trying to explain what the Word has to say. It bringeth forth sin. Sin brings forth death. Yeah, sometimes sin will cause us to die in the natural. It'll kill you. You take a drug overdose, dead is dead. You're done. And you will be judged for sin. But it doesn't always kill you right away. There's sin that's not unto death. There's sin that doesn't take your life right now, but it's still sin. And sin will bring forth death. Bring forth right then, while you're in the act of sinning, it brings forth a spiritual death. Not later, but now. It does something to your spirit when you are dwelling in sin. When you've embraced an ungodly habit, when you are doing and enjoying and partaking in an ungodly thing, it separates your godly spirit. Because God's not going to be a part of sin. It's separation from God. It's very serious. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's scripture. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You have God, you have sin. Every one of us gets to choose the path that we will take, the life that we will live, what way that you will go. No child of God backslides overnight. None of them do. It's seldom does a child of God actually walk to the edge of the mountain and just leap off headlong into sin. Doesn't work that way. You see, if you're a child of God and you're living for Him and you are worshiping Him and your life is dedicated to Him and you have decided that I will serve the Lord, whether if you're a young person or you're elder, if you're an elder, if you're like me, every one of us, you got to watch out. Every one of us, the young and the old, we need to watch out. Praise the Lord. We don't just launch out into a life of sin. More often, sin becomes a part of a Christian's life slowly. Often, without hardly even being noticed. I want to pause right here. I'm going away from my notes. I went to Winter Fire, and I went to a breakfast that Bishop Bernard was teaching. And in his teaching, he was talking about how churches grow and how people become successful in living for God. You know how you become successful in living for God? is you got to choose to live for God. You got to live differently than what you did before. Amen. If we can just get people to grow in Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter. I'm talking to the pastor. I'm talking to myself. I have to grow in Jesus Christ. To be successful in living for God, I have to grow. Amen. And you know what? The same is right for you. You and I, Brother Dyke, we need to grow as ministers in the Jesus Christ. We need to grow up in God. We need to grow up and do the things that are right before God. I believe men should go to men's conference and young people should go to youth convention. And next month, ladies should go to ladies' conference. Amen. I think you should go. I think it's good for you. You need to grow in Jesus Christ. Amen. The elements class that Brother Dyke spoke of, I have a set for 10 students, 10 books. So far, we got 7. Amen. If you are interested in growing in Jesus Christ, I invite you to be a part of our class on Sunday mornings starting next month at 10 o'clock. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to grow in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. It never stops. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we are not careful, the enemy will try to gradually move us away from God. That's the tactic of the enemy. Oh, it won't matter if I miss church just today. That's a lie from hell. Satan put that thought in your mind. Now, here, I missed church a few weeks ago because I was sick. And we couldn't do the presentation to the Waldrons because then she got sick. And then he got sick. And then, you know, but then we had to just wait until all of us get here together. But you know what? That's okay. If you're sick, stay home. But if you're not sick, get yourself into the house of God. Come to church when the doors are open because it's a part of our walking with God. It's a part of our relationship with Him. There's going to be something valuable that you will receive from the Lord when you come. Come to church. Praise the Lord. It does matter. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Darkness is going to come upon us if we let it. You know, sin likes to sneak in. Sin likes to take a roundabout path. Oh, nobody knows. It's okay. You know what? You ain't fooling God. God knows. You might fool a pastor. You might fool your neighbor. You might fool the guy in the next pew. But you ain't fooling God. Amen. You ain't fooling. Well, I have in the past, thank the Lord, I don't have a bad back right now, but I've had problems with my back in years past. And there were times that it would be just so hurtful. There's nothing I felt I could do. I would get in the shower and turn the heat on, kind of warm, and I'd stand, oh, that feels good. You know, and put the sprayer on real hard, and oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. You turn around, you turn the hot up a little bit, turn the cold down. Oh, yeah, that feels good. Yeah, yeah. And then it felt so good, I'd do it again. Oh, oh, my, you know, my skin is just about peeling off. It's getting real hot. I'm turning real red. I got sweat. I mean, it's the whole bathroom is all steamy. I got it so hot that I, you know, it's almost the cold is completely off. And, oh, that feels good. You know what? Sin is like that. Sin will come on you, and it, you know, it might be tempting. It might be alluring. It might seem attractive. It might even feel good. Sin will take you to hell. Follow the progression of sin in the story of Abraham and his nephew Lot with me. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. It came a time they needed that by necessity to separate, and Lot chose the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Apostle Paul compared Lot to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot. Yeah, God delivered him. But it was a great cost. There was a great cost. It changed their lives forever. And delivered just Lot, vexed. That word means to wear down, to oppress. You see, he lived in that sinful place. And he became a leader and sat in the gate of the city and was a judge of sorts in that wicked place. And day after day, he'd see the sin in that city. Now, he might not be doing that sin, but he's living there. It's vexing him. It's wearing on him. Lot vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. You know what? I don't even want to be around people that have a dirty mouth. It hurts my ears when I hear them take the Lord's name in vain. It's come to the point at work that people don't talk that way around me. I'll look them straight in the eye and tell them I'm offended. I don't want to hear it. I can't make you change your speech, but you will not talk that way in my presence. And I can put on my gorilla face. Ever seen what a gorilla looks like? Just look at me when I'm serious. Praise the Lord. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear their wicked conversation. I don't want to hear their wicked speaking. With their filthy conversation of the wicked, verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Don't hang out in places that are sinful. Don't hang around people that talk ungodly. You don't want to hang around with places that are going to drag you down and vex your soul. Compare Lot to Sodom. He appears pretty good. He's the good guy in that picture. But you compare Lot to Abraham. Lot looks like a backslider. He's living in that ungodly place and partaking in the conversation of the ungodly. He's living there with the wicked. When I find myself in restaurants, particularly ones that you pay more money at, they dim the lights. It's a little bit darker. You first get in there, I can't hardly read the menu. But then as you sit around and you take a sip of your iced tea, or you speak a little bit and the waitress comes back to take your order, or by that time my eyes have adjusted and I can read the menu. If you hang around in sin long enough, it will seem normal unto you. It will seem like that's just normal. That's just the atmosphere. That's just where we are. And you'll start making excuses. Too many children of God are learning to live in the dark. Sin no longer offends them. Sin should offend you. You know, there's a bunch of don't be so easily offended. Well, people get offended over all kinds of stuff. You know what? Sin offends me. I don't want to hang around sinners where ungodliness is. I don't want to dwell there. I want to remove myself from that place. I don't want to be around that. Sin should offend you. In fact, some, when they get used to the sin being around them, they may themselves take pleasure in the sin of the world. It's a slippery slope. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, you know, you start talking about godly things and some people will turn you off. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow. The Word of God is powerful. Man, it is straight up. It's telling about our world. This is what our world is. These are the characteristics in our world today. This is what our society is like. Hear no evil. See no evil. And I think they make monkeys that do this same thing. They make monkeys. But these are kittens. It's silly. It's made for kids, but it's the truth. We should practice not listening to ungodly music. Listen to things that are godly. Setting things before your eyes that are holy. Amen. Letting your words become that which represent Jesus Christ and not ungodly. You know, cursings and taking the name of the Lord in vain, don't let that come out of your mouth. It would be better for you to say nothing than to let ungodly things come out of your mouth. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, if it looks bad, just don't do it. Amen. A child of God, and I'm wrapping this up. A child of God must take care not to act worldly. Not to talk worldly. Not to dress worldly. Men, look like men. Women, look like a woman. We are commanded not to love the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our walk with God doesn't end. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. Even if I were to die in Jesus Christ, for me, it would be gain. Amen. Praise the Lord. How does one rid oneself of sin and get back on the straight and narrow path toward God? Judges chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. Amen. This is just about to the end. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, they've messed up, right? When you messed up, when you do wrong, it gives us example in Scripture on what to do. Here in Judges, it says, we have sinned. They recognized they did wrong. Get this part now. Praying, do thou unto us whatever seemeth good unto thee. You know, we need to trust God. Don't worry about what he thinks or she thinks or what they might say. Get all that junk out of your mind. Your responsibility is between you and your maker. You got to get things right with God. Don't worry about everybody else. Get yourself right with God, and he will make it okay. Do unto us whatever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. I'll tell you what, today is a good day to get right with God. This is what they said in the Old Testament. It still applies to the child of God today. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. Stand with me. I'm closing. Musicians, please come. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. Just repent, get it right between you and God, and start over. Start from right now. Start from today. Right now, in this service. I'm not talking about, oh, start later this week. No, start right now in this service. Start now, today, here, before God. 6 steps for success. 1, stay full of the Holy Ghost. 2, don't deliberately put yourself in temptation's path. 3, pray every day. 4, hide the word of God in your heart. 5, be in the house of God when you can.
Amen.
I didn't say when you feel like it.
Right.
If you're not sick, come to church. If you're sick, stay home. But if you're not sick, get yourself in the house of God. Get yourself in the place that God wants you to be. Number 6, make yourself accountable unto someone regarding your weakness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, those promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The way that you get right with God is to get right with God. Why don't we do that right now? I'm going to open this altar. We're going to sing. We're going to lift up our hands. We're going to praise and worship. Why don't we, in the closing moments of this service, just get ourselves in our right place before God. Just between you and Him. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about what others might say. Just get yourself right with God. Right now, here today, in this service. Would you join us? Would you come to this altar? Would you lift your hands? And would you pray? Would you seek His face? Would you do His will? You commit yourself to serve the Lord.
Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want. We want more. We want more. We want more. We want more. Teach us how to live beyond ourselves. Let everything we say and do bring glory to your name and bless your heart. God, show us how to love like you. Holy Spirit, break us, come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want. We want more. We want more. We want more. and selfishness.
Bring,
take me back to my first love.
Lord,
I'm falling on my knees. Now I confess that you will always be enough. Oh, Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake. You're the one we're living for. Holy, Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Holy, Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus, I love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. You know, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. There's a reason that, you know, we're saved. We're justified by faith and through the process of salvation. Amen. We're justified by Him. Amen. But there's a reason that we still struggle with sin. There's a reason for that. It's because we're corruptible. If you're able to be corrupted, then you're still going to deal with temptation and lust and sin and death. You still deal with it. Amen. But, you know, I'm so thankful that I found an answer for that. Amen. Somebody tell me what the answer is. Jesus. Amen. This scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, for this corruptible, verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Notice that in the progression of sin, you have temptation, you have lust, then you have conception. I think that's where you went. And then you have death, right? Well, I know somebody that will unravel that whole thing for you. I know somebody that can take care of it all. Amen. Death can be swallowed up in victory. Amen. You don't have to live a life thinking sin's the boogeyman and you have to watch out because it's around every corner and it might be behind you right now. Amen. You can live a life of true victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can put it all in His hands. Hallelujah. We had such a wonderful time just now of repentance. And it is so good. It's so right to turn ourselves towards God. To sort of recalibrate, amen, our direction. Amen. And face Jesus. Amen. The rest of this says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Amen. Turn to Jesus. Amen. Forget about the things of the past. Amen. Really, truly, walk after Him and live a new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you thankful for what God did? Amen. He took care of the whole thing. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands to Him right now. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the victory, Lord Jesus, that we have in you, God. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's so good to be here with you today. I'm so thankful for all of our new people that are coming. Amen. Davian, it's good to see you, sir. Amen. And say it out loud, Ryan. What is it? Milena. Thank you. I forgot the name. So good to see you all. And I've met Zion here. Amen. I think it's your first time here. Amen. God bless you, sir. It's so great to see everybody. Amen. Greet one another. Amen. Let's pray a dismissal, Jesus, right now. Thank you, Lord. for being with us here today. We're so thankful for this opportunity, Lord, to grow, amen, to get closer to you, Jesus, and to forsake sin in our lives, God. We worship you and praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Greet one another in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.